I'm Heather Stewart. I'm an epidemiologist from Queen's University, and my area of research is in stigma.
I guess the first question I wanted to ask is, what, you know, in your experience as you've been writing grants, as you've been reviewing grants, what really works? What makes an outstanding grant?
I'm coming at this from the perspective of somebody who's been writing grants, and if you can say that you learned from your mistakes, and I've learned a lot about writing grants, I think that Pamela has underscored the importance of telling a story. And I think of grantsmanship as the art of getting money out of a funder who really doesn't want to give it to you particularly, right? There's lots of grants in a competition, and there's more grants than there is money. And so you are in a position of having to make a persuasive and logical argument that you should get that money as opposed to somebody else getting that money. And so telling a clear and logical story is just the beginning of it. You have to convince a panel of people who may not know much about what you're doing, but are very intelligent people, but don't know much maybe about mental health or about your area, that this is important, that you're going, that there's something here that we don't know about, that you're going to be able to contribute knowledge. So what we don't know, what we know, and what your project is going to contribute to this body of knowledge and innovation. And I think the point of making sure that you can convince people that you are actually the best positioned team to do this project. So many times when I've reviewed grants for CIHR and other agencies in Canada, we see a really interesting project and a fabulous idea and a group of people who haven't got a hope of pulling it off because they're missing key people on their team, like a statistician or an economist or somebody like that. Or they're just too junior and they haven't thought about making sure they have mentors involved. And so that's part of the persuasive argument that you have to make. Not only is this a good idea and we have the methods in place, but we are the people that can pull this off. And I think the last thing that you have to do is you have to shoot for the stars in a way. So many of the proposals that I've reviewed have weak designs and it's kind of a argued, well, this is what we can do in our location, you know, because we have restrictions. And I think that's the kind of thing that will really, get a grant into trouble, a grant application, because funders want to fund best. They don't want to fund second best because you have particular limitations that you can't get around. And so the important thing there is to convince the people that not only are you going to be able to do this, but this is the best location, you've got the strongest approach, and you haven't really had to make any compromises because of, you know, your knowledge, your position, your administrative supports, or your community supports.
Heather, do you want to pick up from there? What's the biggest mistake you've seen or made?
I'm going to come at this from the point of view of somebody who's on the review committee, who's got your proposal to review. And I imagine your process is probably similar to this, that a committee of experts review a proposal. And in my experience, one or two people are given your proposal as a first reader and a second reader. And they're the ones that are supposed to know it intimately and to be able to present it to the committee and defend it. And so what I see as the biggest frustration for me as a reviewer is when the writers of the proposal don't give me enough information to defend their work in front of a committee who doesn't want to give you the money, you know, who's looking for reasons not to give you the money. And that plays out in a couple of different ways. The one way that it plays out is jargon, short forms, poor structure in a proposal. So if you think that I understand your short forms or you define them in the first paragraph and I'm in a committee meeting and someone says, what were they doing in the methods? And I flip to the methods section and all I see are wall-to-wall short forms and I can't remember what they mean. And so I can't help you, you know, in a committee. If all I see is wall-to-wall text with no subheadings to guide me as to where important pieces of information are, I can't help you, I can't defend your proposal. If you think that I can read your mind so that I know what you're planning to do and you can't tell me clearly, I can't defend you in a meeting. So I see the biggest frustration for me is, you know, you have good intentions, you want to present somebody's proposal in the best light. That means that a third party, someone you don't know, has to understand what you're doing, has to buy into the fact that it's important, and then the technical part has to be able to locate information, be able to understand the details of what you're doing, and be able to justify that when they're asked questions at a committee.